500 and 500. Sarah Inamorato, Allegheny County executive, said 100 days ago, trying to find affordable housing to help the homeless issue in part, and issued a report yesterday that they've created 98 housing units and housed 75 people in the program's first 100 days. Curious how this is working in the eyes of someone who's in this world each and every day helping those who are struggling. And joining us is the executive director of Light of Life Rescue Mission, Jarrell Gilliam. Welcome back to KDKA.
Hello, Larry. It's always a pleasure to be with you and your audience.
So your assessment after the first 100 days, since you are actively involved in helping those who are living on the street or without housing and trying to help them get back into a safe place?
Well, it is commendable that, again, that there was an effort to bring attention to this crisis. And I applaud Sarah and the county for escalating this. What my concern is that it's just not enough. It's a great first step, but it should be, in my opinion, a step in with a series of other steps to really address the issue. It's not just that we need these beds, but we need to focus on the people who are having severe mental health. They really pose the greatest threat to themselves and to others. And so that requires us being able to increase our capacity within our county to help those who are either undiagnosed or untreated mental health. And you know, these beds are not going to be helping them specifically. And then we need to be concerned with preventing people from entering homeless. I think I talked to you last time. You know, there are still, we are averaging around 50 families a day that are being evicted. And so people are just not able to keep up anymore. And so we have to come up with plans that can work with landlords to give people time to get caught up. We have to create beds for people who need supportive services, as well as the 500 and 500 that the county is bringing aboard.
Jarrell, I want you to repeat that, because I think that is a stunning number. You're saying 50 families will be evicted. How often?
It's daily. That's our average here in our county.
In the county, and, just Allegheny County alone?
Yes, yes. We saw this spike happen right after the pandemic, and when once the eviction moratoriums, once that was lifted, what began to happen was there was a backlog with landlords, and there was a misunderstanding among some seniors as well as people in those families that there was a forgiveness of their rent, which was not the case, and we were trying to get that word out. So many of them, as soon as the moratorium was lifted, they were given notices. And so there's a backlog in the courts. There's actually a website where you can track the number of cases that are coming up and how quickly they're moving through. And so these people are having to find alternatives. Now, not all of them end up on the street. Some of them are able to connect with families and others, but some are ending up on the street because we know they're showing up at our emergency shelter.
Can you give us some sense, when you talk about, now we understand there are people who have challenges of addiction on multiple levels. There are people who have mental illness issues. But what about families with children who are completely innocent or completely what other people would be considered a more normal family environment? How many of those people are out there?
Yeah, that population, I don't have a stat in front of me, Larry. I can look that up and try to get back to you. But that's the population that's growing. I was meeting just 2 weeks ago, me and a small team, we went to Skid Row out in L.A., and we spent some time with some thought leaders out there. And the manager of our women's shelter was explaining to me the challenges that they're having at our shelter here in Pittsburgh, and the surprise of seniors now. that are becoming homeless. No history of mental health, no history of drug abuse, yet they are losing their ability to stay in their homes. And there is a crisis for affordable housing in the senior high rises as well. And they're out of places to go. So they end up in our shelter. She also told me of a story recently where an adult child dropped off a mother, which would be a grandmother to us, saying that she could no longer take care of her mother. And it was heartbreaking for her. She's working multiple jobs, but just could not do it anymore, and dropped her mother off at our shelter for us to try to find housing for them. And what I'm concerned is that as the weather changes, that this is going to get worse, Larry. And so we really need to escalate this and treat it as a housing crisis. In some cities, they've actually declared a state of emergency, which has cleared the way for an easing on some of the regulations so that builders can get in their rehab places and convert spaces into living spaces.
How do you stay up, Jarrell, dealing with this heaviness every day?
Well, I'm a man of faith, and there's a lot of people in this city that pray for me and pray for our team. And another thing, Larry, I wish you could have been there just 2 days ago. We celebrated another graduation, and we do those twice a year. I wish our city could come and see those. But in those moments, we are energized because we see in front of us people who once were living in tents, people who once were addicted, who thought they would never be reunited with their families, with their children again. And here they are in a festive evening, graduating with family members, children, all cheering them on. And man, you talk about a hope shot. That's a hope shot for us. And when we see that, we say, you know what, let's keep going. We want to do it one person at a time and continue to move forward this great work.
Well, God bless you, brother. And thank you for the work you do every day. You're a special person, and it takes somebody like you to reach and help. If you can help Light of Life Rescue Mission, please do. Jarrell Gilliam, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your work as well, Larry.
To be continued, and we will continue to tell. With us all week, Paul Rasmussen vacationing back on Monday, but you're not here tomorrow, are you?
It's Rob Taylor tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow afternoon instead.
Doing your reporting duties.
I'll be filling in for Paul, actually, Paul Alexander tomorrow. So one Paul to another.
Oh, you're doing afternoon anchoring. Yeah. Well, you're this anchor thing. Is it heavy when you anchor?
Not really.
Aaron, what did we learn about David? Now, you have only been here a few months, so you just met David, right?
Right.
And there's three takeaways from working with you, and I've known you for a long, long time, David. One is we know you're an anti-sandwicher.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Of any kind, right?
Right.
Two, you had a pet raccoon as a child.
Yes.
Did you have a leash for that raccoon, or was this
No, we tried to do that.
Was it a? Oh,
yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Harness. I only had him for about 6 months, though.
That's a long time.
It really is.
Because they don't seem like they'd be very friendly. Did you have a name for your raccoon?
Herman.
Herman.
Yeah. So basically what happened, like my dad cut down trees for a living. He was a woodsman. And when they cut down one of the trees, they accidentally killed the mother with the raccoon. So my dad, my uncle, and the other guy that they worked with each took one of the baby raccoons with them.
And you raised it since birth?
No, probably. I can't even remember, but he was probably, maybe about the size of a puppy when we got him.
Tiny Herman.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I never really knew for sure. I if you want to get the violin music up for this.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Go ahead. So let it out.
Well, it's actually interesting. So for many, many, many years, I thought something bad happened to him. Because one day where I grew up, we did not have heat in the school building where we were going. So they sent us home early. And I remember it was Washington's birthday. And I came home and I went to go get him out of his cage, and he wasn't there anymore. And for years, I thought somebody had taken him.
But he escaped.
No.
Because from you, like Shawshank.
No, what happened, you know, I didn't realize this apparently until, I didn't realize this until my dad's funeral, actually, a couple of years back, is that he took him back to the woods once he grew up.
Oh, so your dad freed
Whoa.
Him.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's actually really sweet.
I mean, my dad died in 2019, and that was the first I...
You didn't know all these years. You worried about where was Herman.
Yeah.
Wow.
The name.
Okay,
where
so...
Where was Herman?
So we... Anti-sandwicher, had a pet raccoon he rescued for his dad, a woodsman. And then number three is, we found out we were talking about the super harvest moon, the other celestial things we were discussing. And David, you said you never look up. You never look up.
So no, I told you I look down whenever I go jogging, because if you're doing that in the dark, you have to make sure you're not going to hit an uneven sidewalk.
Fourth takeaway.
Does this show up on the camera here?
Yeah,
do you see that?
You have a knee. Yeah. You had an operation.
Well, that was my eighth torn ACL surgery, but there's a scab there from when I fell down in January one day, and it still hasn't completely healed because the sidewalks in Shadyside are not even.
Just so you know, I'm not charging for this therapy session. But
it's like Charlie Brown going to Lucy, of all people.
And then one bonus thing is we learned you're a slow jogger.
Yes.
So you just kind of do like a...
No. It's not running in slow motion. It's jogging at a walking
pace. There's a
pace.
Form. He said there's a specific form.
So you want to land, again, if the camera is there. So basically...
Oh, he's showing
like
us.
This. So you're landing on the
balls of your feet.
Exactly. Because that's, if you jump up and down, that's where you naturally land. So you don't want to land on your heel. So you want to land there and just keep going at that steady pace. And... it allows me to do, I mean, if I have the time, I can sometimes go up to 11 miles.
Whoa. That's pretty awesome.
It's been a year or two since I've done that.
I have learned so much this week working with you. David, thank you.
Sure.
Have a good week. Can you get someone to video your slow jogging, please? I'd love to share it with Marty and our audience. Right, Aaron?
Oh, yes.
Oh, by the way, hey, Patrick. Patrick Septak is our news editor. Patrick, he's working. He's going to come in tomorrow. We're going to have a little in-studio tailgate party with his accordion for the Steelers home opener. But he has a friend. He's got Daphne just sent me a message. Daphne's a little upset. I thought you guys would be talking about the Golden Bachelorette. The first episode must have aired. We missed it. And she says, I'm heading to the dentist, so maybe it will be a topic during the rest of your show. I'll have to use rewind feature because the Novocaine wears off. And then,
what a detailed message.
Daphne says she's up in Slippery Rock.
Is that Pat's fan or is that your fan?
No, that's Pat. Oh, no. She's a Pat. She loves Pat. P.S. Bill Hillgrove is amazing. So well-spoken and knowledgeable. Love him. Thanks for having him on. So Daphne's having some type of tooth issue. She's on Novocaine, but okay, Pat. I didn't want you to worry out there, but she'll be locked in tomorrow when you bring your amazing accordion in. Wow. Who do we bill for this therapy? Core him. And tonight at the Fairmont Steel City Awards Dinner for the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation, I'm honored to be the MC, and it's all because of Major General Pete Tulare, who is a Butler native, graduate of Clarion University, who served our country in the Marine Corps for 34 years at the highest levels through Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, among many others. And he joins us on the Big K Morning Show. General, good morning.
Larry, good morning to you. I have to sit down after that great Marine Corps hymn. I was at attention while that was playing.
I figured. Thanks for taking time. You and John Banasek, who has won three Super Bowls with the Steelers back in those great days where they had 4 and 6 years, a Marine, and he and you introduced me to this tremendous organization tonight. So share with our audience what the purpose and mission is this evening.
Yeah, let me do that, Larry. First of all, congrats to John Banasek for serving on our committee, three-time Super Bowl champ and Corporal United States Marine Corps. So he's just done a phenomenal job. Tonight it's at the Fairmont in Pittsburgh. Starts at 6:30. And I want to thank you, Larry, for this is your fourth consecutive year hosting us with your master of ceremonies abilities. You're just phenomenal. And I can't thank you enough. And matter of fact, in the city, we've made you one of our honorary Marines. You had big shoes to fill. You had Jim Roddy, who recently passed away, who was a former Allegheny County executive, also a Marine. And again, Larry, big shoes to fill, but congrats to you for doing a phenomenal job. Listen, like all the service, we all make legendary sacrifices in our services, going to war, whether it be peace or war. And we also want to ensure we want to take care of our children. And that's what we're doing tonight. So the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation has been honoring Marines and educating their children for 60-plus years now. And what we do here in Pittsburgh, it's called the Steel City Campaign. And we've been doing this for approximately a decade here in Pittsburgh. It's part of a larger organization, the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation, which is nationwide. Those who get the scholarships, the children are children of Marines, Navy corpsmen, or chaplains. You have to have a cumulative GPA of 2.0, and which is a threshold for income. So those that are needs-based, that meet the qualifications of a 2.0 or greater, they are given a scholarship in this particular program. And just to give you an idea, over the last several years, we've given out over $220 million in scholarships over the past 60 years. This year alone, we've given out $11.7 million to those in need. We're helping over 2,882 children, and 100% of our applicants are awarded a scholarship, Larry. And the average GPA for our graduates is around a 3.43, 91% graduation rate. Think about that. 91% of the students that get this award and this scholarship are graduating at 91%. To sum it up, anybody that has a child that's in the Marine Corps or the Navy corpsman or in the religious program, if they're qualified, they will get a scholarship. All it requires is a 2.0 grade point average or better. And so this last 10 years, we've given out over $172,000 in scholarships locally here in the tri-state area, 20 from Pennsylvania, 20 students, 2 from Ohio, and 4 from West Virginia. So that kind of sums up, Larry, you know, what this event is about and what it's ultimately for. But we'll also be giving an award tonight that I'd like to share also with your audience. But that really is a phenomenal job done by the Steel City and also the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation nationwide.
And John Surma is the recipient of the Semper Fidelis Award. Tell us a little bit the meaning of this award and John Surma's dedication here, especially in our region.
Certainly, the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation Semper Fidelis Award, it's given to those individuals who demonstrate a recurring commitment to an effort which contributes to the betterment of our society. Some individuals that have received that are former presidents of the United States. Here locally last year, it was given to Rocky Blyer, four-time Super Bowl champion with the Steelers, obviously a hero during Vietnam, great representative of our veterans. So Rocky got it last year, and in the past we've also given that award to other individuals here in the local area. But John, he's the chairperson for the board of directors of the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. He has been a phenomenal individual. He's really done a great drive for us to bring in a lot of donations from those in the tri-state area. He's going to get this award tonight. We're very honored to give it to him, and we're very thankful to him, what he does for the local community, now tonight for the United States Marine Corps. What a great individual. Look forward to honoring him and his family.
And John Surma, former CEO of United States Steel, so he was known internationally as well. And General, I appreciate the kindness, but I got to tell you, Jim Roddy, who just passed in the last year, was a mentor to me. I met him through Jack Bogut, actually, who sat in this air chair 15 years in a row before John Cigna and I. And I still stay in touch with Jack Bogut. And Jim Roddy, after his Marine Corps service, continued to serve this community. And he was the master of MCs. And I learned a lot from him. So I'm very honored to be there to recognize him, John Surma, and the deserving scholarship awardees. It's a great night. If you can help, Steel City Awards, the Marine Corps Scholarship Fund, please do. General Pete DeLary, I will see you promptly tonight, sir.
I look forward to seeing you, Larry, and let's have a great evening together.
By the way, this is one of the most organized events I ever have been a part of, and I love that. It's on time. Outstanding. General, thanks.
All right, sir. Take care. See you tonight.
So I'd call up my wife, and I'd say, baby, who could draw crowds? Nobody can draw crowds like me. Nobody, not even close. I'm the greatest of all time, maybe greater even than Elvis, because Elvis had a guitar. I don't have a guitar. Elvis had a guitar. I don't have the privilege of a guitar.
I woke up and saw Marty Griffin's post and...
Didn't Elvis sing Jailhouse Rock?
Oh, he was kidding, right?
Just saying. That dude needs to be drug tested now. My brother needs Jesus.
Coming up, Marty, 10 till 2.
Damn.
You have a special guest in studio.
Big shot.
Big shot.
Big.
Big.
Not as big as you, Larry.
No, big. This is big.
Hey, quit picking on Balderado. Making fun of him and his little squirrel. What the hell was it?
It was a raccoon named Herman.
Uh-huh.
And?
Talking about him looking at the sky.
He's an anti-sandwicher.
Sandwiches. He's walking around here mumbling. I'm just saying.
He doesn't look up and he slow jogs, but... Everything wow. else is no.
He's building normal. A case, is what they call it, Larry. Hey, let me read something. It's important.
What do you got?
And this is actually fascinating. In the 4 years studied, the Pittsburgh Steelers brought in $2.6 billion in direct and indirect spending within the city of Pittsburgh, $3.4 billion to Allegheny County, and $3.1 billion to the state of Pennsylvania. Yet, we have city leaders, present company excluded, of course, whining about the city spending $1 million to prepare for the NFL draft. Wah! My man, if somebody says to me and Larry, give us $1 million, we'll give you back $3 billion, I will be selling some stuff. You know what I'm saying?
We'll be interested.
Don't you think,
to hear,
sir?
Yeah, well.
What kind of pet did you have when you were a kid, Larry?
At one
In your
point,
pocket.
I had a hermit crab. We had those chicks at Easter a couple of years
ago. Oh, I had plenty of chicks, Larry.
That